At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
I just think he's full of SH1T at times. It's like, you know, he's quoting Kipling to players. It doesn't work, Rudyard Kipling. It was probably Mr. Kipling would have been better.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, for an effortless finish to your day. New Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
This is News Talk.
Well, you are very welcome along. It's going to be some weekends. What are we going to pack into this weekend of sport with the Champions League, all the football, everything else that's going on? We've a really, really busy news round, as you would expect. But it does kind of have one eye on what's been happening over today and one eye on the weekend. And we'll have John Giles viewing the Premier League season coming up. He's going to talk about Leeds obviously surviving, you know, the joy of the Manchester City win and what they did for football in the second half, and also pitch invasions and so on and so forth. And he will talk to Champions League decider. Eamon O'Hara and Conor Gilligan will be on to talk the football championships in their respective provinces, that of Connacht and Ulster. Two fascinating clashes there. We've some meaningful metrics as well on the Champions League final. And on the football show later, Tim Vickery is going to talk the Latin American influence in the Champions League final. And Graeme Gartland will be discussing the League of Ireland, which is just getting a bit more basket casey with every week. A really bizarre round of results on Monday. And the news round is brought to you with Gillette Labs for an effortless finish to your day and in advance of a wedding on Saturday. Call, I actually got the old trim today, got the beard trim.
And look very slick, may I
thanks
add.
Thanks. If only Joe were here.
To describe for our radio listeners.
What? Yeah.
$1 million.
What are you? Why aren't you here, Joe?
It's not, I don't know. I mean, I'm here, but I'm not quite there. You look very well, though.
Thanks very much. You're remote today.
Yeah, remote today. What's happening? On? What's going on? What's whetting your appetite most for the weekend ahead, I guess? It's hard to look beyond Champions League final.
I'm at a wedding on Saturday, and I don't know that many people at the wedding. So it's like, how many pints in do you broach the subject of, can we watch the TV now?
Well, it will be a wedding with phones at the table. I wouldn't I wouldn't envy the speech makers, to be honest.
No. Have you ever had one of those weddings, Joe, where, you know, people were there kind of in body, but they weren't really there in spirit? They were watching some sport on their laptop or something on their phone.
Oh, yeah. Thankfully, not my own, but we've all been there, you know. And then there's moments where you think the dance floor is a bit sparse here, and then you wander into the next room to the bar and you realize at least half the wedding guests are watching whatever match is on. Yeah, it's I think it comes as a cruel surprise to any member of the wedding party who's not a sports fan when they realize, you know, there's a massive sporting occasion on that day. It's a tough one. What do you do? You can't be, it's my wedding and you're not going to have a good time by watching the sport you want to watch. So come back in here and dance. You can't really do that either. So I think the best weddings embrace it, don't they?
I think they do, Carl. You know, and sporting weddings, I've often sat around tables with strangers and we're all just watching a hurling game or something.
Mm. It's just not working out time-wise for you, really, is it? Because the Champions League's at 8 and what time is the wedding at? As in the Mass, is probably afternoon time.
No Mass. Them days are gone.
Okay. Yeah. So you're probably sitting down to have your meal around 8, or you're in the throes of the meal at that stage.
You see, I'd say the meal will start Heineken Champions Cup kickoff time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you might be wrapped up.
You'll be into speeches for Champions League final time.
Oh, that's a good point, Joe. So there could be a fair few rugby fans at the wedding. There'd be good quality of person and me at this wedding. And
Johnny, as you often say, this is rugby country.
It is rugby country. We've already had a text in. I was at a wedding last weekend, managed to watch the Wexford Kilkenny game and the Munster Leinster game. It was the most sport I've managed to see on a Saturday night in a while. I hope it wasn't your own wedding. That's that's two games in two different sports. That's impressive, Carl.
Yeah, well, the thing with weddings is there tends to be a lot of time like hanging around in the bar area waiting for the meal, I find, until like 6, 7 o'clock. So if there is an afternoon game on in between the, if you have a Mass in the afternoon time, early afternoon, then you've got 2 or 3 hours to kill. It can be a nice way to spend a couple of hours. dressed in your suit. What sort of suit are we talking for the weekend?
Yeah, I got a black tie, so I'll give them a bit of a plug. I went to Collar and Cuff in Glasnevin and got my suit with them. So I was just about fitting into it on the day, and I haven't put it on since, so it'll be a squeaky bum time on Saturday morning.
It's not great timing for a Leinster football final. Bang on top of a Heineken Champions Cup final. I mean, the GEA were always going to face this situation, I think, given the new calendar, but when you have weekends like this, and even considering there are four provincial football finals on in one weekend, you know, it should be bumper coverage. I appreciate provincial finals are not what they were, but you think how little coverage there has been right across this week, and it's because there's so much else going on allied to the fact that the provincial finals admittedly are not what they were. But Leinster football final with Leinster and the Heineken Champions Cup at exactly the same time doesn't sit well.
I think, Joe, I think the championship's been a bit strange so far. It's like, I mean, we've had some good games. I have a slight issue with hurling. I think at hurling at the moment, there's just so many scores in games. That's another issue. I think that there are too many scores, a bit basketball-y. In terms of football, like, we've had some really good games. It's just, it's happening so early in the year or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, the qualifiers, given Mayo and Monaghan and Armagh Tyrone, mightn't help later on in the championship, but that will be a big weekend. I think it'll start to catch fire a little bit and start to feel serious from that point on. I mean, it's a terrible thing that provincial football finals don't really grab the imagination anymore. This has been the case for the last couple of years, if you remove the COVID years, obviously, but since the round robin has come in, hurling has completely dominated the early stages of the summer, as you know, as it was certainly and as it is now. So the hurling round robin completely dominates. And I think, like, we've probably had a fair few football seasons now, going back to Dublin Mayo in 2017 and Kerry against Tyrone last year and a few seasons before that. We've probably had a few seasons where, frankly, the football season has been very underwhelming, bar the like hardcore football fans who'd watch every game regardless. But in terms of like reaching up and grabbing the floating voter, a huge number of football seasons have just been saved at the death over the last couple of years. An amazing final between Dublin and Mayo, or, you know, a great semi-final here or there. Like, it's hard to think of too many amazing games pre-quarterfinal over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
With I'm sure lots of exceptions, but I'm talking beyond the football fan. I'm talking about the floating voter this weekend, who is a casual sports fan, likes most sports, is definitely going to watch the Champions League final. Because Leinster are in a Heineken Champions Cup final, we'll probably watch that. I don't know how bothered they are about the football championship in the main for a lot of it.
What do you say, Colin?
Yeah, I think Joe's a very valid point in that the football championship tends to ignite very late on in the campaign. Bar maybe your Galway versus Mayo in the first round of the Connacht Championship, if they clash, or Roscommon have played Mayo and they beat them in McHale Park in a couple of years ago, those sort of games. And then obviously the Ulster Championship is the one that has been carrying the torch in the early part of the season. But that said, I mean, on Sunday, Donegal and Derry is a real blockbuster game, and then obviously Galway and Roscommon is another one in the provincial finals this weekend that are going to take the real headlines on Sunday, probably ahead of the games obviously on Saturday. And you know, I know you'll be talking to Eamon and Conlath later on in the programme, but for all four of those counties, definitely the provincial championships and the title that's on offer provides a huge incentive, I think, and is probably underlines that for a lot of counties, the provincial championships and the title that they offer still means quite a lot.
Yeah, I think on that, Joe, like, you know, it would mean an awful lot for Derry to win an Ulster championship. Kildare and Dublin is the most interesting Leinster final we've had in a while, purely by virtue that Dublin aren't like raging certainties to win it. I don't think they are anyway. And obviously Roscommon just enjoy beating Galway any day of the week. And Galway haven't exactly won that many Connacht championships in the last 10 or 15 years. So at least we have some intriguing deciders where there will be actually great passion at those games.
Yeah. As a Kildare man, I can't say I'm terribly excited about Dublin-Kildare.
Are you not?
No, like, it's a foregone conclusion, is it not?
It's not.
You think?
It's not, no.
Okay.
Do you not Michael's in the... Our producer says it is. Okay, well, if going on the betting, it's not a foregone conclusion. It's certainly not the foregone conclusion that would be a 15-point game. I'm not sure what the handicap is. It's nothing like that. It's like 5 points or something like that.
Okay. It's not as much of a foregone conclusion.
And you have Daniel Flynn.
Well, listen, and there's always the chance, of course. Look, if he ignites and things go well, of course, in a two-horse race, anything's possible. But... what you could say is it's not as much of a foregone conclusion as the last number of years. Munster is a foregone conclusion, absolutely. Ulster's very interesting for sure, and Galway Roscommon to a point. But like outside of the two counties, you know, how much is the country really that invested in or are looking forward to it that much? I don't know, you know, and it's a tricky thing. Whereas the hurling round robin really works in Munster for sure. I don't know. Like I cover it and absolutely will watch the games and we'll be doing analysis pieces on it. But like, just speaking like personally, I'm just very jaded by the football championship. They had a great chance to really mix it up and they haven't taken that chance. And I don't like the condensed schedule. I understand the reasons for it. But what frustrates me is that it seems every county I hear about is taking August and into September off anyway. So it's not like the club player in a lot of instances is starting his championship any earlier as a result. So I'm kind of thinking, I'm a bit nonplussed by it, to be honest. And I can't, what I would say is bring on the semi-final, quarter-final stages as quickly as possible.
What about the Talisman Cup then, Colin? So I go play in London this weekend.
Yeah, I've been kind of keeping an eye on the promotion of it because a lot of people were saying that it needed to be promoted heavily. I think it's been quite good so far. Mm. And I know Offaly and Wexford last weekend was a really good game and I saw some pictures from that and you could see how much it meant Offaly to get over the line in that match. So I think it's gotten off to a reasonably good start. Again, as Joe makes the point that Saturday is so busy, there are a couple of games this Saturday that will probably go under the radar just because it's such a packed sporting weekend and sporting day with the Champions League and Champions Cup, and then you have the provincial finals that are on Saturday.
Point, I think the Talisman Cup is actually scoped to become a really cool competition.
Yeah, I agree.
If London beats Sligo, don't underestimate what that means to that London team.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, genuine aspirations for all counties that are in the competition. They only have to get through probably two or three games to get to Croke Park to play a semi-final live on national television.
Exactly.
Which is a real carrot for a number of counties, particularly those in Division 4 that mightn't have been in Croke Park in decades. And... to be honest, I think it's been a reasonably good start, possibly a little bit under the radar because everything else that is happening. But once it gets into the latter stages, I hope that it will take off. And look, I mean, it's never going to be perfect in the first year. But I think if they can get off to a solid enough start this year with the competition and then build on it next year in terms of correcting maybe stuff that mightn't have gone particularly well this year.
Yeah.
I think it can have a really good future, yeah.
Michael has informed me, our producers, that we can go back to more wedding-related stories. So there's still time to get in some texts. I think we can all relate to some stories of watching sport at a wedding when probably we're doing it on the QT. But first of all, it's time for the news round, Col.
Yeah, and we'll start with tennis, Johnny, because the world number one Iga Świątek is safely through to the third round of the French Open. The Polish star dropped just two games in a straight sets win over Alison Risk earlier today. Speaking after, Świątek says she's trying to be as focused as possible on every game she plays.
I think, you know, just being focused and wanting to put pressure on my opponent is really helpful because from the beginning I have initiative and I can really lead on court and it's giving me a lot. So that's just what I'm trying to do and it's not that easy. Before every match you really have to get pumped up and get in the zone. So I'm getting better and better at it, but I'm still not an expert.
And elsewhere today at the tennis, the 8 seed Karolina Pliskova was knocked out after a straight sets defeat to world number 227 Leola Jean-Jean of France. Men's world number 4 Stefanos Tsitsipas is currently in action. He leads Zenek Kolar by 2-0 and is on the brink of winning the third set there, so he's looking like heading through. And second seed Daniel Medvedev is also through. He won in straight sets earlier today against Laszlo Jere.
We have a bit of boxing as well.
Yeah, all three Irish fighters in action at the Men's European Boxing Championships in Armenia suffered defeat today. Heavyweight Jack Marley lost to a Greek opponent in his last 16 bout and light middleweight Luke McGuire and welterweight Eugene McKeever both suffered defeats as well earlier on this afternoon.
Before we get to the Republic of Ireland squad, here's a couple for you to ruminate over, Joe. Lads, we got married June 30th, 1990. That was a great time to be alive in Ireland. We embraced it. The band were Langers before they even started. United. What a day, John in Limerick. Ireland v Italy was that date. Oh my God. Lad, back in 2012, I was a photographer at a wedding the day of the Heineken Cup and Champions League final. Spare thought for people working at it. I didn't finish up until after the first dance at 1 a.m. I mean, does anyone really care? I mean, you're a photographer at a wedding. I mean, you're just there to take the photos, really, aren't you? No, I mean, I don't know. Spare thought? Paid on the hour?
Yeah, it can be a long day. It
can be.
I have no experience, so I can't say.
That was Leicester v Ulster and Chelsea v Bayern. I hope that that texter in is still doing the good photos at the weddings. My daughter got married in Champions League final in 2019. I told her if the guests couldn't see the match, I'd find a bar somewhere and leave the wedding to watch it. Needless to say, the meal was done and dusted by 8 p.m. and we all got to see the match. Deirdre, mother of the bride in Longford. There you go, Joe.
It's the only way. You got to embrace it. The only way. I mean, you're fighting an uphill battle, and especially now, everyone will have their phones out. You know, though, if you're an avid sports fan at this wedding, and you want to see Leinster Kildare, you want to see Leinster La Rochelle, and you want to watch Champions League final, I don't really know how that wedding gets around that bar having everything wrapped up, and the times don't work, so I don't know.
Who's the neutral up for in the Champions League final?
The neutral, I think in this part of the world, Liverpool, unless they're raging Manchester United fans, I would think. Like Florentino Perez and his European Super League and his cribbing over not signing Mbappe and, I don't know, certain familiarity, deeper familiarity with Liverpool, maybe. But then, like, there's something kind of cool about what this Madrid team
exactly.
have done. If you know, like, it's hard not to look at Modric and Benzema.
Fighting
and,
against
the way
time.
They keep coming back. A little bit, yeah. So, maybe split opinion on that, actually. Who are you up for?
I'd be up for Liverpool, obviously, but do you see where I'm coming from, Carl? It's like a lot of people will have warmed to this reality.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Obviously, in this part of the world, the affiliation to clubs across the water can be quite severe, and I suppose people hold them dearly, so maybe not too many people not of a Liverpool persuasion hoping that they get over the line. But I mean, it is the sort of sporting occasion that all fans generally will warm to, regardless of who's in it, I think.
I do wonder, are Liverpool just getting a bit over? Are they getting a bit tired? Like, is it just taking its toll on them? I think they kind of limped a bit at the end, albeit they were still winning in the league. They kind of just, I do wonder, are some of their players just getting a bit tired at this stage?
I
think they're wrecked. I think they're wrecked. I think they've been wrecked for about a month. And now, that's not to say a week's rest, all of the adrenaline that comes with this. I kind of think they'll be okay, actually, on Saturday, but I think for the past couple of weeks they have been wrecked.
In a weird way, football has been better than ever. This is Gaelic football. Great matchups when the best teams play, but that's 2-3 games a year. It's not enough for the whole year. The format is all wrong. Not the sport, Joe.
I totally agree. I think the sport is incredible.
Gaelic.
Like, I come away heartbroken at the end of every year because you watch the great games, semi-final, finals. I like some of those Dublin Mayo games in particular, like 17 still lives in the memory, and you know, the Dublin-Kerry draw and then the replay, even though Dublin won that a bit more comfortably, and even like the Tyrone ambush and Kerry last year, and well, the final was a bit of a dab squib. But you take my point. The best 2-3-4 counties, the way they play football now, I just think it's exceptional. It's just a joy to watch. And I come away every summer going, God, why can't I get just a bit more of that? Like, big surface, you know, Croke Park as much as possible, high stakes. Like, I just think it's never been better. But I think we've all had our fill of our frustration with the structure. Just, you know, we've talked about it a million times on the show, and so there's no point going over the same old arguments. But I think, and looking at text messages in or tweets in, I think most people are incredibly frustrated with it now. For sure, like Derry and their run in Ulster this year has given us a bit of something, and Mayo going out early gives us a bit of something. But like, beyond that, what are we talking about this year that there was to get excited about? What was there in Munster? What was there in Leinster that was certainly on live TV? Mayo, Galway, absolutely. And then the few games in Ulster, but it's not enough. You know, it's just not enough to reach out and grab people, I think.
What else we got, Carl?
Well, let's move on to the Republic of Ireland under 21 squad, named today by manager Jim Crawford. He's included four newcomers in his squad for the upcoming European Championship qualifiers against Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro and Italy. Teo Adaramola of Crystal Palace, QPR Sinclair Armstrong, Wolves midfielder Joe Hodge and Cork City's David Harrington have all received a first call-up. Ireland currently third in the group. They play Bosnia and Herzegovina in Tala on the 3rd of June, while Montenegro come to Dublin on the 6th of June, and their last group game is away to Italy on the 14th of June.
No Rory McIlroy at the Irish Open. This, I was just on RTE's website earlier. This was their top red, so obviously this is energising people. I don't really have much interest in golf. Is this a big deal? I know he's saying it's scheduling and so on.
Yeah, so he's confirmed that he's not going to play at Mount Juliet in the event that begins at the end of next month, but he is going to participate in the JP McManus Pro-Am at Adair Manor in early July. Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal that he's not playing, but I think he certainly has credit in the bank when it comes to the Irish Open, because he has revitalised the tournament almost single-handedly.
Any
in the
take
last five
on that,
or six
Joe?
Years.
Like, I can see it from both sides. From McIlroy's point of view, he really does have to look after himself at this stage of his career. And so his logic, Johnny, is that he'll be playing the next 4 weeks in a row. So we're talking Memorial, which is a really big tournament, and absolutely should play in that. The Canadian Open, where he's effectively the defending champion. The US Open, which is a major he has to play. The Travelers afterwards, not as big a tournament, but he's down to play the Travelers afterwards. And so the Irish Open would come the week after that. 5 weeks in a row is a lot. It is a lot. And then, look, he's playing in the Pro-Am. I'd prefer him playing the Irish Open to the Pro-Am at Adair, but that's been locked in for a while. And then he's going to take another week off, and then he's at St. Andrews. So, look, that's a lot of golf. It is a lot of golf. And he does have to think about the US Open and St. Andrews primarily, and make sure he's fresh for both and finely tuned for both. And I can see how 5 weeks is, you know, an awful lot. But I can understand people's disappointment with it as well. Like, he effectively saved this tournament. Mm. He really did. And so in that sense, he doesn't owe anybody anything. But you kind of think, like, you saved it, you got it back going again. The thing is, Rory's one of those handful of players where if he's at a tournament, you have a tournament with which has global attention, and, you know, the crowds would love to see him. He's an electric presence. So, like, for the tournament, I hate using words like disaster in the context of sport, but you'll take the point. For the tournament, it's a disaster, you know. As for McIlroy's rationale, he's played 12 of the last 13, was there last year to support it in Mount Juliet. You have to allow him to be his own man and to pick his own schedule. You just hope it doesn't become a thing. You hope, you know, we see him far more often than not. He missed Lahinch as well, and now he's missing this one. Whereas you sort of suspect at the start of each year, Shane Lowry says, right, here's the calendar. Where are the four majors on? When are they on? When's the Irish Open on? And almost works from there. And that's probably not where Rory's coming at it from at this stage. So really bad for the tournament. And look, hopefully it doesn't become a trend. He'll get plenty of stick for it, I'm sure.
Yeah, and just briefly on a similar enough kind of theme, in some respects, his compatriot Reese McClenaghan. This is an interesting one, Carl, because I don't know, you're talking Good Friday Agreement stuff here, which is quite an intriguing one from Reese today.
Yeah, so this story is broken in the last couple of hours. He's appealed to the International Gymnastics Federation to reconsider their decision to prevent him from competing for Northern Ireland at the Commonwealth Games. McClenaghan, Eamon Montgomery and Ewan McAteer have been informed by the FIG that they cannot represent Northern Ireland at the event, as they've represented Ireland in other FIG events. McClenaghan won gold for Northern Ireland at the event in 2018 in the Pommel Horse, and said today on social media that the FIG do not understand the gravity of the Belfast Agreement and the unique situation pertaining to Northern Ireland. Commonwealth Games Northern Ireland have also released a statement and say they plan to challenge the ruling, and the games are due to take place in Birmingham this summer, beginning at the end of July.
One last story.
Let's take you to news from the Munster hurling final, with this year's hurling final looking set to be a sellout between Limerick and Clare in Thurles. 11,000 terrace tickets sold out in 11 minutes this morning ahead of the game on Sunday week, and all remaining tickets are now with the county boards and season ticket holders.
Enjoy your weekend.
And you. Hope your wedding goes well.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be intrigued. Enjoy your weekend, Joe.
Johnny, have a good one. Thanks, lads.
That was the news round.